This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face to Face Games.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen.
For what?
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, motherfuckers? I'm Heavy Meta!
And I'm Tristan Gregson, and tonight on Heavy Meta, well, you'll hear our voices. Which nowadays is pretty much the most exciting thing I have to offer.
Exactly. And, you know, the same for me. Well, it's not so much as the most exciting thing we have to offer. It's just, you know, the fact that you're hearing our voices is a step in the right direction.
Right. It's kind of, you know, bodes the question, why do you tune into the show? And at this stage of our lives, I feel like it's because we're such engaging individuals. It's definitely not our enthusiasm for the game we can't afford to play, or is it the amount of time we spend on it? Because as we were talking about in the preamble, we're obviously strapped for cash as we are pretending to be adults in the various forms that we go about doing so. You with the kids and the family, and me with the trying to get the new job career thing started. Both of them making very little time for magic. I do have some lovely diatribes about attempting to find a Friday Night Magic in the LA area. Los Angeles, an area I consider to be full of smart people. However, none of them know how to run something as simple as a draft. But you, before we get to that, you're keeping in tone with more strapped for cash and making life choices. It seems like it's been forever ago now, although it's been between the last time we casted and now. You had to say goodbye to those super sweet bolts in exchange for hockey pads. Tell us about how that went down.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, I blame you for like all of this, Tristan. because you just, you know, reignited the spark, so to speak. You know, I used to love
you when I was
younger. Yo, you see that? That was pretty sweet, huh? It's because I haven't had enough to drink yet. Playing hockey growing up and being really into the game a long time ago, and I just kind of let it go for a long time and just didn't have any interest. You know, of course, if the game was on or something like that, or if, you know, I was lucky enough to be hanging out in Vegas with Tristan and there was a bar or a game on at the sports bar, you know, things like that, yeah, of course I'd sit around and watch. But Tristan kind of got my spark back into watching hockey, and in doing that I was like, shit, man, I miss playing. And got to talking to some friends that still play, you know, that from our traveling teams and our high school team and stuff, that still play, and they go out, they go out and play pickup every Friday night. And then there's a tournament team amongst a few of them that they go out and they play. Thankfully nowadays, they're not trying to be super competitive anymore. I remember going to a few tournaments, you know, later on, way after high school in my early 20s, with these guys and them trying to still play super competitively, and it just them getting their asses kicked. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The two tournaments that I went to, I went as essentially an alternate and a backup goalie. It was, look, team's full, but, you know, we know where you sit, you know, we know you're good enough to play, but, you know, I'll just kind of roll with you guys. And I was basically there in case somebody got hurt so that they weren't short players, because they had two full lines and one goalie, and that was it. Because as you can imagine, it's not a huge hockey talent pool in the middle of the desert in California. So
yeah, I mean, it's only going to grow over time, but no, when you're talking about it, it reminded me of my friends in their 20s, where it's like I had friends who played college, and when they got to their mid-20s and they were done with college, and they weren't, you know, they obviously weren't good enough to even try to play minors. And again, right. Canadians listening to the cast will laugh at Californians who think they were ever good at hockey, ice or roller, whatever it was. But when we played in our mid-20s, those guys took it seriously. Like, the concept of the beer league was obviously very below them, but that was like the kind of competition they could find post college sports. So it was this awkward thing where it's like you got the guys with the beer guts on the blue line in their 40s who are content to like wave their stick at passerbys, and like these guys who are like used to going to practices at 3 in the morning and like just got cut from the team are blowing by them. Like, we didn't make a lot of friends. Like, I wasn't in the second group. I wasn't in the competitive college players. I was the friends of theirs that loved hockey. Queen. I was like the communicative link as well as the skill link between the fat, you know, pretty much dads that still wanted to speed it up and the guys that were super competitive who were like looking for the thing after college hockey that obviously weren't going to turn pro, and we don't have that many options in California.
Right. Which we don't.
But it reminds me as well, like, we were always short on goaltenders. Anyone that could, like, pay to buy all the gear was, like, a necessity. Like, you wanted those people around. Like, you'd pay their rink fees, you'd pay whatever it costs just to keep them around. So obviously, you have made the smart play buying the goaltender gear. You are an asset that no one can afford to lose.
See, that's the way you do it. No, and that's one thing that's how I got into playing goaltender when I first started, was just like, I jump in the net every once in a while with the rink gear and just do it to see what I could do. And a lot of times at pickup and shit like that, we just needed another goalie. And, you know, I'd jump in and do it, and I got fairly good at it. And, you know, I was like, all right, cool. So then I started playing as like the main traveling team here in town. And we used to play, you know, competitively all over Southern California. I was the backup goaltender for that team. And then when our goaltender, moved to, Oregon or Washington, one of the two, I ended up being the starting goaltender, and I did that for a while. And then later on, we had another guy that we used to play with all the time that had left town and come back. That was, you know, amazing goaltender, always hurts himself somehow. Like, the guy is always getting hurt, but a really good goaltender. He started playing in net, and I just jumped back out, and I would essentially, because again, you know, we have a small pool of people here in Ridgecrest. Usually I would end up playing as a defender out of the net, and then if anything happened with Curtis, the goaltender, then I would, I could suit up and I could back him up if need be, because we were like, you know, we'll just run double purpose. But as I got back into it, you know, I was like, you know what? Like, I wouldn't mind just getting back in the net again. And I kind of got a hair up my ass, you know, talked to the guys, and they, you know, they're talked about. They just recently went to, a tournament in Vegas, for St. Patrick's Day weekend. They were there, while I was at that, at the Kings Devils game. I was actually talking with, one of my friends on the team about it, because he was at that Vegas tournament. And, we, you know, got to talking more about it, and he had, you know, brought up, he's all, dude, that'd be awesome. Funny enough, the guy I was talking about, Curtis, their goaltender that can't stop hurting himself, still to this day keeps hurting himself. I like the guy. I love the guy. I don't want to call him a big sissy or anything, but he seems to hurt himself a lot, and he seems to keep doing it. And I think a lot of times that he might not be as hurt as he lets on. But that's one of the things that Travis brought up. He's just like, oh yeah, you know, we went to this tournament, and then Curtis hurt himself. And we weren't going to have another goaltender. And so he's like, you know, it'd be awesome if you wanted to, start, you know, luckily Curtis, I guess, sucked it up and started playing again. And they ended up winning that tournament, this past, March. But, you know, he brought up, it'd be awesome if you wanted to come out and play, you know, cause we can always use a backup goaltender with Curtis around, cause he's always going to get hurt. And I started thinking more about it, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it. But, you know, a lot of the old gear I used to use, it's, you know, it's kind of gone by the wayside. I've either gotten rid of stuff or, you know, over the years, or it's just disappeared. Luckily I did have my old boss, when I worked at Desert, owned the rink in town. And when he got done with the rink, he essentially was renting a building at the fairgrounds. And he, you know, put this rink together. And when he was done with it, when things finally died down enough with, I guess, roller hockey and Ridgecrest, where, there was really no point in him even trying to keep the doors open, he donated everything to the city. so that the city could keep running leagues if they wanted to. They had the boards, the floor, all the equipment, you know, all the rental equipment and stuff like that he had. Just donated the whole thing to the city. And then years down the road, the city gave him a call and said, hey, we're using the building for something else now, and we're done with the whole hockey rink thing. So all this stuff's here. You can come get it. And he's like, I donated that to you guys. And he's like, we don't have anything to do with it anymore, so you can come get it if you'd like. Otherwise, it's all going to be trash. So he had us, while I was working in Desert, he had all of the guys load up all of these trailers worth of this entire rink worth of equipment and boards and, you know, the front counter and all kinds of shit, and haul it back over to his place of business and set aside this lot, you know, part of the lot that he had fenced in, and it was all just put there, and it's been sitting there for a while. So I was like, you know what, maybe I'll see, you know, I'm going to have to buy some new equipment. I have to buy new leggings and buy a new glove and blocker and so on. But I'll go see what he might still have of some of my old stuff. And I found quite a few different things that I used to play in that no longer were a viable option, because they had just, you know, too many years worth of use. But I did find a few things, you know, like that I didn't want to spend money on right away, like, you know, like my pants and there was like the upper body. Actually, there's a nice newer set like of upper body armor. I grabbed those because he's like, oh, hey, just whatever you want. It's just sitting out there going to waste, not doing anything. Just grab whatever. So I grabbed a few things I need, and then a whole bunch of things that I didn't need but wanted. So now I've got like goaltender leggings for Brody and, you know, a few other things. There's actually quite a few different things that I ended up with. And I'm stoked about it because I've got gear to play out of the net if I want to. And I've got, you know, what goaltender gear I needed. And then the important stuff, because, you know, as you know, goaltending gear is not cheap. I kind of was, you know, I talked to my wife about it, and one of the things was, hey, I want to do this. I want to start playing again. Stuff's not cheap, but, you know, if you don't mind me buying it, I won't spend real money on it. And then I realized there's something valuable that I had that I could let go of for another, you know, important cause, like me starting to play goaltender again. So I sold the Beta Bolts and used that money to buy some of my equipment. And so now here we are, I've got my goaltender equipment, and I'm actually going out. That's one thing you were talking about, F&Ms. That's one thing that probably won't be happening much for me anymore. Not that it really did before, but, right about when F&M starts is about when all the guys go out and start playing pickup on Fridays. So won't be able to play many F&Ms anymore.
So you guys just have like a pickup, like, do you have like a league at all, well, yeah, or is it just kind of like,
now here's the issue. It's basically just pickup games. And, for now, I heard mention of trying to set up leagues, but the problem is, and the reason there hasn't been leagues here for a long time is, the rink that my old boss owned was at the fairgrounds here in town. The only rink left in the valley now is, it's actually a fairly nice sport court rink, but it's on the base. So the problem with that is, public leagues on the base, they used to do that with all the different sports, you know, baseball, basketball, and even hockey at one point, back a long time ago when it was a lot easier to just get a community pass to go on base. But, you know, over the years, you know, Homeland Security and whatnot have made it to where you can't just be a member of the community and show up and ask for a pass. You have to have a sponsor, which is essentially somebody who's a government employee on base, to sponsor you to get a community badge. And so there hasn't been really any interest from any, or enough interest to get leagues started from people because of that. You know, if you want to take your kid out to go play hockey, you've got to have enough people willing to either work on, you know, that already work on base to get their kids onto the base to go play at the rink, or to, you know, get somebody that works on the base to get a community pass to get your kid on base. And so most people are just like, ah, screw it, I'll just have them play baseball. So it's, they don't really have any leagues, so to speak. It's just kind of a pickup thing, but that's where I guess, it's like an open pickup thing on Fridays, but it's mainly most of the guys that are on the Eagles, the, like, I don't know, the 10th iteration of the Eagles, traveling team that we had. So, you know, it's kind of like a practice and pick up at the same time sort of deal. I guess from what Travis was saying, when they get their, like when they have tournaments coming up, they'll schedule separate practices and they'll actually go through and drill and stuff. But, you know, normally they'll just go out and play pickup and just get a workout in kind of thing, which I guess is fine. You know, when you're playing beer league hockey, it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah, you're getting out there. You get to play. That's really what matters. I'm not sure, how competitive anyone's going to be. Like, again, I'm so far removed from it that I remember, like, it was tough to get four teams together and then try to, like, split the talent evenly.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the best few guys that would play all the time together would purposely be split up, and then they wouldn't really care, and it was always a shit show from when I was involved.
We could do fairly well with that when we had the rink here in town, and, I mean, especially when a lot of the guys that came up playing hockey, like, were all together, and then, you know, everybody went their separate ways, and hockey kind of died out in this town, and so there wasn't really much of a talent pool here, and then, you know, hockey is a bit more expensive of, you know, a peewee sport than most. You know, you've got the same travel fees and things like that than any other sport, but...
Baseball stuff is cheaper, there's fewer pieces, you can hand it down.
Right, exactly, whereas, you know, hockey gear gets... I mean, even to dress a player... gets expensive. To dress goaltender gets a lot more expensive, and it, you know,
that shit gets sweaty, man.
Oh yeah, so yeah, that shit's got to go after a while. You can't
it's from the communal pile.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of gross when you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be picking up pants from the communal pile. I'm glad it worked out though.
Oh no. I mean, that was all the rink gear that was there, but those were the old goalie pants that I used to use. I checked them out, you know, and I'm sure that they were probably used by a few people other than me. But I checked them out, and they actually seemed legit, and they were doing all right. And then
they smelled like Kevin. Everything was fine.
Yeah, they smelled just like me, like funky ass hockey gear. But yeah, it's, you know, all together, it's cool. I'm excited. You know, one of those things where, you know, you talked about, I sold off those beta bolts for some gear, and it's, you know, it crushed me a little bit to do it, but at the same time I knew, you know what, I've never been one of those like super collector type people. Those are the only like that caliber card I think I would ever own, because they're lightning bolts, and I got an amazing fucking deal on them, and I, you know, they were great to have, but then as I was sitting there realizing, look, you know, there's, I could get out and I could start playing again. I got to buy equipment and I don't have the money to do it now. And it's one of those things where I was like, oh, this is a lot of value sitting here where, like, I mean, I've got a million lightning bolts. Like, I mean, I can still put lightning bolts in my deck. I just don't have these ones anymore. And as amazing as they are, it's, I think I made the right play by selling them off and, getting, you know, getting my gear.
Yeah, I mean, it helps a little bit that you're not giving up a card that you can't play anymore. You're giving up something that is essentially a common in the modern day of Magic.
Yeah.
So it's more really the sentimental value there, and then the fact that at this point those things just can't be replicated at all.
Right.
You know, rest in peace, Mr. Rush.
Exactly,
Christopher Rush. So that is a huge gut hit on those.
Mm-hmm.
But I hopefully they got a good home. Was it somebody in the SVU family that picked
yes.
them up from you? Hopefully,
yes. It
silver
is.
Lining on this story.
And like an asshole, I wasn't thinking about it when I was rambling about hockey gear to like actually check and see what his Twitter handle was, because I forget, because I'm that jerk. But I'm sure I could come up with it pretty
quick.
It's
been a while.
Let me see. Oh. Sam, the Craven one. That's right. Sorry. I was all, man, I can't remember what it was. It's at the Craven one. Sam, and he is a Heavy Meta fan, Heavy Meta listener, and he hit me up about it. Cause I threw him out on Twitter. I was like, yeah, that was my biggest problem too in getting rid of them. Trying to find a value for them was kind of a pain in the ass, because it's one of those things. I mean, you know, you say you can't put a price on it, cause it's one of those, you know, there aren't any more, and there won't ever be any more like that. And, you know, they're a rare thing in the first place, and then to have Rush's signature on them is, you know, it's to some people, and I even saw it like when I was kind of trying to get a value or an idea of a value out of some of the people I talked to, some people were more on the side of just like, oh, well, I mean, you know, this is how much a fucking, you know, moderately played fucking beta bolt goes for. So like, you know, like what, some asshole made some comment on a Facebook thread. He's like, he's all, so it just depends on how much you're wanting to profit off of his death. And I'm just all, dude, fuck you. I'm like, no, the fact is that I'm not going to sell them to you for a couple bucks a piece because fucking, just because they should be the same amount, whether the guy signed them or not, or whether he died or not. I'm just all, dude, fuck you, whatever. So, but nailing down a value is kind of hard because, like, for instance, I checked eBay and the closest I could come is there was a guy selling a playset of them for $800. And I was like, yeah, I don't think he's getting $800 out of those four cards. I really doubt it. Now, maybe years down the road, that's possible. But my whole thing was about, you know what, I'm going to get rid of them. I like to try to find a value of sorts because I know because of the situation, they are a bit more valuable than they used to be. So, you know, let's see. And it was really hard to nail something down. And I finally kind of got, which was about what I was thinking in the first place. I got, you know, sitting around 450. And that's what I had thrown out on Twitter, and that's what I ended up getting for him. So, you know, it worked out well. I, you know, was able to turn that into hockey gear, you know, and I'm happy about it. Unfortunately, I didn't turn that into more Magic cards because I have had zero time to play Magic lately. And that's one thing I love about this podcast, though, is it still keeps me connected and you know, into the game and into what's going on. Between this and Twitter, you know, I still kind of know what's going on and am connected to this game, even in those lulls where I don't get much of a chance to play and life gets in the way and I got other shit going on. You know, right now I've got a million different things going on, and yet I still, you know, am completely connected to Magic, whereas if it weren't for this cast and it weren't for me just following all the people that I do on Twitter that are involved in the Magic community, I would have like got bored at one point, not been playing Magic or something like that, and then just left the game behind. So I'm happy that I still get to do this every, well, I can't say every week because we haven't been around for what, 4 weeks now, something like that. Tristan, did I lose you?
Oh, man, has it really been that long? I hope it hasn't actually been that long. I think I'm still here.
No, you.
I can actually hear you. I can actually hear me in your headphones, I think.
Oh. And maybe that's because there's like a delay going on this end. But
definitely. Hopefully. It's got to be my connection, not yours. My I'm a little far from my Wi-Fi these days.
Ah, I get you. Understand. And you know what? This might come out fine on the recording too. I've had that happen a few times with us before where I think everything is going haywire and then it sounds fine on the recording.
Now you're done talking. I don't know if you're still there.
Oh, this is going to get fun.
It should be okay.
Okay, now I got to know. Like,
maybe this, not.
This is funny. Now I got to see how much of a delay is there. Okay, so when I say go, you answer back when you hear the word go. Ready?
I mean, I just heard you say that. I don't know. I think it's... I've heard you say go like three times.
Okay. So there's a good 5 second delay going on.
All right. That's cool.
Right on.
It's got to be all on my end. My internet is, I'm further from my router, and now that I've moved, I think I realized I need a new router because it limits my bandwidth for some reason, despite having more bandwidth than I did prior. So that's all good stuff that I'm sure I will address eventually.
Well, you got
in the interim, if you can hear me. I
can't hear you.
What now?
Oh, this is getting fun.
God damn it. This is why we need more people on the goddamn podcast.
I know. So somebody can fill in this dead space.
I know. So you don't have, we're not going to just like send this part out to the internet where you and I are like, can you hear me now?
Yeah. They did that on a Verizon commercial a long time ago.
Yeah. It's not funny anymore. Oh man, those in the interim, those Alpha Bolts are worth a lot. Yours were Beta though, right?
Yes, they were Beta. Yeah, the Alpha Bolts are definitely worth a lot. I mean, the Beta Bolts.
Trying to like, you know, you like someone gave you a bunch of crap about your. Yeah, it's just like it's just so ridiculous to me. I mean, those items were so rare to begin with, and then, again, I hate that you had to go through someone hazing you about the value of your card signed by somebody when it's obviously you're not trying to be like, oh, how much more percentage can I squeeze these from? They just don't exist. It's the same reason why it's like, oh, your Alpha Magic card is worth so much more than your revised Magic card or something, where it's like, oh, you're trying to squeeze me on the difference. It's like, dude, there just aren't that many. Like,
exactly.
Get over it.
Exactly. You know, go buy, like, if you don't like it, then go buy the, you know, M13 version or whatever. Like, it's
exactly.
You know, there, it's a premium for a reason, and it's because it's not because it's, you know, the amazing like artwork or the amazing look of the card, the frame or the border or anything. It's the rarity of them, and then again, you know, like you said, it's so much more rare because it's a signed card that won't ever get signed again that was rare in the first place. But you know, getting hazed, like, to me, it was comical. I laughed about it because it was like one guy kind of talking shit and I was all, you need to get the fuck over yourself. You know, everybody else, I was on this, was it the high-end Magic cards for sale group in, Facebook, which, I mean, Facebook's a goddamn garbage fire anyway. But I had asked around to some friends, you know, to say, hey, you know, any ideas how I might be able to get, you know, somewhat of a value, and was it Zemet? he's all, here you go. And he just sent me a link to that Facebook group. And he's just like, have fun with that. I was like, oh, at first I was just like, oh, what are you? Okay. And then I got on there and I realized what he was talking about. because Facebook's a garbage fire, but you know, it was what it was. I got, you know, a few different people. You know, tried to kind of chime in a little bit, a few different people that had some helpful info, and I kind of just stuck with about where I was thinking in the first place, and that's what I ended up getting for him, and I was happy, and I know Sam is happy with him, and, you know, they went on to a better home, and, you know, at some point, maybe I'll at least get a play set of promo bolts going again, you know, to take their place, but, you know. For now, I haven't been playing enough Magic and I haven't been playing enough Burn or Red cards to warrant having those sitting there, when I could be doing things like, you know, playing hockey. So.
We still don't know if, what contingent's gonna make it to GPLA next week, do we?
At this point, I don't know. I know David said he was going. I know I am not going to be able to go, few different reasons. It started out that it was like the weekend before our anniversary. And so the wife wasn't real happy about it. She knew I'd end up spending more money than I planned on. And then it turned in, found out that we're working through that weekend anyway. So had I made plans, they would have had to go, you know, go south as it was. So. I'm not making it, but I remember last I heard, David is, and I believe Marcel was still booking a flight to come down. Not sure who else may or may not.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well, or at least I heard something in that vein. Well, I know, but Marcel is going to make it for sure, and I was just trying to check on Dave. I've got I have tons of friends that will be there. Mm. I'm just trying to figure out what my weekend will be like, of how much of a stop by or a hangout I'm going to do personally. I'm not sure yet, but I was trying to figure out from the Ridgecrest contingent, at least if, you know, Dave's going to be there, then that means a car full from the Crest is going to make it over.
That's likely.
At least for a day.
Yeah, that's definitely likely. Dave's got enough of the local group that likes to go out of town to GPs and just carpool together that, he'll likely be bringing a few of those. Zen used to be one of them, but, he doesn't live here anymore. He lives up Northways where you used to come from. So I don't know that he'll be making it. I'm not sure. Hadn't heard much from him on the whole subject. But then again, it's Zen. He may end up shooting down to LA to go, you know, play in the GP or just go to have some fun, hang out with the homies.
Well, I mean, most of the SVU is just looking for fun. It feels like. I mean, I don't want to speak. There are the competitive players out there. We all know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Dave, for instance, himself would tell you he has played the magicianal cards to great success. It just happens to be modern, so who knows?
Which is kind of a bummer. That was the one thing I was like, oh, motherfucker, it's in LA and it's modern and I would love to go and actually, for once, you know, enter the main event and play in it, you know, cause this, I might as well. Shit, it's modern. I'm not saying I'm gonna do well, but this also isn't Vegas where I'm gonna care way too much about hanging out, socializing and drinking, and being way too hungover to play. You know, this is more of a like, hey, you know, we'll go down, we'll see some people, hang out. You know, but I actually could, you know, sit down, play some Magic all day and enjoy it and have a good time. But of course, you know, this one didn't work out. So have to look at the next one.
Well, Los Angeles is a very different Magic scene. And I feel like I've known that for a long time. I'd been to the Frank and Sons collectible show when I was younger. So young, I remember I used to think it was called like Frankinson's. Kind of like what they brought Jesus when he was being born. I wasn't entirely sure what it was. So like the scene is just very different down there, but I have tried to find something I thought would be super simple to find, just a Friday Magic that can run a draft and it'd be perfectly reasonable. And I have yet to find one in my three attempts to do so since I have been down here.
That is crazy.
I will quickly, well, you know, everyone has different ideas of what they consider to be a fair or what their expectations are of these kind of events. And it kind of blows my mind that there are so many people out there that are having like their prizes determined and their events determined on like things like tiebreakers on a 3-round draft. Like every single place I've gone to has paid like first through third in an 8-man draft based on standings, which is just ridiculous. Because it's 3 rounds. Like, you're going to have people that went 2-1. Like, their tiebreakers are almost impossible to like, be really defined. It's so arbitrary and random.
Like, color of shirt.
All I want.
Like, at that point,
I mean, like, sure,
you know.
your opponent's match win percentage matters. Your game win percentage matters. Those always matter with tiebreakers. But a single draft is such a small sample size that it is insane to me that so many people play with those things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to get too deep in the logistics of what they take in for prize money versus what these places pay out, but you know, at pretty unilaterally $15 a head, you're not getting the value in product that I expect to be or I see so well in the Northern California.
Right.
So like already bad value, and then you've got prizes being given out based on a record that's also based on tiebreakers and standings, which is absurd. Like, to me, a F&M draft is the simplest thing in the world to run. You can do it with a booster box, and you can charge people $15 to get in, and everybody wins. Like, everyone has a good time. The store makes money off it. The box is perfectly profitable. The players have a good time, and each match matters. And no one should go away with the hard feelings. Because each, you know, like you didn't get blown out on tie breaks.
Right.
You know, the way we play in Oakland and the way we've played in Santa Cruz, the way we've played in San Jose, all these places, it was like, you know, pack per match win. Generally, if you 3-0 your pod, you get a fourth pack and you also get the F&M promo of the week. You know, obviously additionals are handed out to random players. But it's so clean cut. It's so easy. And it makes it so the guys in the O2 bracket have something to play for. So it's like, you know, my buddy that's come with me, this has happened multiple times now where his opponent has dropped before the third round. So he paid $15 to draft and maybe play like 2 rounds. Or we're like, we'll get paired against each other. So then like that won't be super exciting. It's like, you know, you invest four to 5 hours of your life on a Friday night. And what are you really getting out of it? It's so easy to do. And, you know, anyone out there, let me know if I'm crazy for thinking this is the way drafts should be run, because I feel like it's so easy. And yet three places of increasing seemingly prominence. Like, I started in downtown LA near Dodger Stadium. I went to a spot there. Then we went to a place in Pasadena that was, a really big store. Like, they had a couple of draft pods, so, like, the Magic community wasn't super big there. But the store could definitely accommodate. There were people playing casual EDH around while FNM was going on. So Magic players were in the building. They had a seemingly thriving community. Oh. And then last week, I actually went to Emerald Knights over in Burbank, which is a store that I had definitely heard of. You know, they print shirts. They do comic book signings. They have artists. I've seen TV segments in there about, you know, their selection and their stuff. And that place, you know, drew 3 draft pods, which I consider to be pretty, I would hope that would be a normal thing for a quality FNM event. I mean, simply having the table space in Southern California seems like it's a little bit harder. The rent is apparently too damn high to get some real estate to have your game tables out. But even there, you know, it was like the same exact thing. You know, you just pay, they do it even weirder. Like, you have to have 7 points or more to be eligible for prizes. They pool a certain number of dollars in store credit, and then they pay out to everybody with 7 points or more. So it's kind of like this weird chop situation with everyone. So, like, if you get to the finals, you're going to just draw. You're not really going to play. Because if you're 2-0 and you get paired in the third round, I'm like, why would you want one guy to go home crying on a Friday Night Magic? Something seemingly so simple. So it's been some interesting experiences. Nowadays, I'm getting told MTG Deals is the place to go check out over in San Gabriel. I'm not so akin to the aggressive Yu-Gi-Oh crowd that is in that area, so I'm not sure if I'm going to check that one out.
Oh, God, that sounds like aggressive.
Definitely wouldn't bring the value of Magic cards that way. Well, you know, the Yu-Gi-Oh crowd, and again, I don't want to make assumptions or draw conclusions about them, but they are known to be a little with the fast hands and the pocket picking and all that great stuff that we all as card players love to be associated with.
Oh yeah,
and I would be less inclined to talk about it if it wasn't for the fact that I was at a Magic event in Anaheim probably like 5 years ago, where there was a Yu-Gi-Oh event like the next room over, and there was like, I witnessed the full-blown, like, guy grabs the Yu-Gi-Oh! Binder, runs out the building, gets into the engine-on car in the parking lot waiting for the guy, and then they drive away at high speed. Like, the straight out of a movie, like, I can't believe that was a thing I just saw for Yu-Gi-Oh! Have seen that happen.
That's insane. Ah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards. Ah, that's depressing. At least we have a good community. I mean, you know, shit happens in any community. You got bad apples, but at least we have a good community that you don't hear about that with Magic players, you know, often, I guess.
it's a stronger stigma in the Yu-Gi-Oh community. And regardless of whether, you know, I'm not saying it's overarchingly true for them in general, but it is a kind of a stigma that comes with them, like I said. So,
Yu-Gi-Oh players are fucking shady. Is that like card racism?
Is it? I don't know.
I think that's like fucking card game racism.
Definitely at the Frank and Sons. It just makes me think Frank and Beans. At the Frank and Sons collectible trade show, though, you have quite the extensive Yu-Gi-Oh market as well. Something I'd never looked for in the past when I went to that kind of place. But if it's like all Magic flows through there. It's so weird. Like, there's no big store in the area because you can just go there and pick up booster boxes for $80 cash, and like, they have to be cash because they don't want to charge you sales tax. Which because then you got to put it on the books.
I get you.
it's a good way to pick up, you know, cheap product, that kind of thing. So like, so everything moves through that area. It's just a very different environment for Magic, and thusly stores in a way kind of suffer. It's just a really, really weird down here for that. And in talking to other people, it's like the people don't necessarily wave their nerd flag like I expect them to, even in this day and age, because they're so concerned about image, especially in the entertainment industry, where, you know, the car you drive and who's on your arm and all this shit matters to what people think of you. So if they know that if you spend your Friday nights in a game store, you're even weirder and less likely to be someone that others look to for decisions and opinions.
Right.
It's that shallow and that vain.
No, and that's very much true. You know, I like, we're up north a little bit from there, but like, you know, in a small town as close as we are geographically to LA, we essentially, that's where, you know, anytime you want to go do anything, that's, you know, from here, anytime you want to get out of town and go do anything, that's usually where you end up. Because, I mean, the closest thing really is Lancaster, Palmdale, which is essentially the outskirts of the Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles area. And so, you know, it's like you hit Lancaster, Palmdale because it's, you know, faster, but when you're already there, you might as well just travel the rest of the way into the city kind of thing. And so it's one of those things that's, you know, growing up around here and then by extension down there a little bit, it's always been that way. Everything's so shallow. Everybody is so shallow. It's that, you know, stereotypical LA lifestyle kind of thing. But that, what you're saying makes so much sense too, because getting into, not that I had been out to a whole bunch of game stores and playing a bunch of Magic or anything, but getting into this community and seeing like what I have in a more of a local area, you know, whether it be, you know, of course here, Ridgecrest is a different story. But getting further down, you know, in Lancaster and the LA area, the game stores I have been to and just the Magic player in general and then the people that do play Magic, it's definitely seems like it's far and away different than all of these stories I was hearing about everybody else. You know, once I got involved with the community, started doing the podcast and hearing about all these amazing. You there?
I am here. I dropped there for a second.
Yeah, it did. It dropped.
Hopefully
out.
Your little LA rant was strong enough to keep some glue together on this.
No, it should be fine. And I can just kind of edit this back together anyway. Now I just got to remember where the fuck I was.
I dropped out when you were talking about how much the LA life is real.
Well, yeah,
much,
no, it really is. Oh, and that's what I just was getting at is the fact that the hearing about all these game stores and these communities that everybody else had through the podcast and through, you know, Twitter and talking to everybody and then, you know, going out to events and people talking about it and just seeing stuff in other places, it just blew me away. I was like, wow, that's crazy. You know, people talk about these great communities. Like what, you know, one of those is, for instance, you know, all the people that we talk to, you know, from up in the Toronto area, you know, and they're always talking about like all these, you know, these different game stores that they could go to even, you know, before like face to face was is now the primary, but like these different game stores they could go to and this crowd that they had and this community that they had and all these different, you know, even down to the like, oh, they've got, you know, 4 or 5 pre-releases a weekend at each store. And there are so many stores you could go to here. It just, in Southern California, it seems like there's not nearly as much of a Magic scene. And I think it translates right down to what you were talking about is the fact that it's kind of the LA image thing. And although Nerd is a lot cooler now, so to speak, it's still, you know, people don't really want to go out and advertise the fact that they like to play Magic. So there's not a huge, just not as big of a push for it to have, you know, multiple game stores and a big community in the area, in Southern California. And it's just funny that it's always kind of seemed like that to me with everything. You know, Southern California is Southern California. It's, they're all a bunch of elitist pricks. Don't become one, Kristen.
it's not like it's a grass is always greener scenario, but I had just become so entrenched in the tech startup, like super nerd environment of the Bay Area, mm-hmm. that I was surprised that Southern California hadn't taken a little bit more of a lead from that, being like, oh, fuck, these guys have made, I don't know, billions of dollars. Maybe not making fun of them wouldn't be a bad idea, but it appears to have not really transitioned.
No, the LA attitude is all, fuck it, let the nerds do the work and we'll just be the fucking rock stars. And that's like, I don't know. It's always kind of been that LA mentality. It's a cutthroat fucking place to be. And it's, you know, I don't know. It's almost hard to put into words, but there's definitely that LA mentality and everybody seems to have it. And I think that come down to what you're talking about, even with the local game stores and shit.
Yeah. I mean, the guys that I hung out with in Pasadena and I hung out is not the right word. When I went to that game store, they were very just like condescending about gamers or like things you like and you don't like. And again, I'm in an even more confusing situation now where it's like I show up in a Sharks jersey, but I have to explain I'm Canadian, but I'm living in LA. So it's
I just came from the Bay Area, so it's okay.
Right. Yeah, it's all, well, it's not okay, because apparently the guys want to act tough at a Pasadena game store on a Friday night, thinking that I'm, like, lived in Oakland, motherfucker, I will cut you. Like, there ain't nothing you can do to me in your fucking Pasadena lifestyle. So fucking posh there, like, get the fuck over it.
That's the way everybody is, though. They're tough motherfuckers. They all gotta look tough. Well, and they gotta do that because the guy watching them may be a talent scout for whatever it is they want to be talented in.
Maybe. I mean, I did get to actually witness a guy who's a storyboard artist. I've already met some people in the industry down here at Friday Night Magic. He had to, like, physically send photos of him playing Magic to his girlfriend because she was really confused that he wasn't, like, at the bar on a Friday night. And I was like, he hadn't been to F&M in a really long time, so, like, it kind of made a little bit more sense than you'd expect, but I was still like, really? You have to... She's like, yeah, you know. It's like, he was like, I was talking to him, and he's like, yeah, no one in my office plays. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, you do something kind of dorky. Like, sure, you draw, and you draw cartoons, but, like, I'm used to those people having their own, like, magic social circle at lunch. Like, they'd get together and have their games, like all the engineers do. Like, I was like, you don't have any of that? He's like, nah, I tried to bring, like, sample decks to work, and no one wanted to play. And I was like, that's really weird. It's not like the guy was, like, a lot, like, super older, like, he wouldn't be in the, you know, the target demo that we're in now, where it's like, we played as kids, and we came back to as adults.
Right.
Like, so many people have that now, you know, in the professional world. So it's given me new insight, I feel like, on a lot of the stigma that a lot of the listeners can have, where, you know, you go to work, and even if you have, maybe you're doing something that's seemingly nerdy, or you're doing something that gives you a lot of downtime to have a chance to game, the people around you aren't necessarily going to want to gravitate towards it. It's just, it's kind of surprising to me. I'm surprised.
it's weird the way it goes down, but, you know, there's still that, and it's like you said, it's weird that today, the way things are today, and that it's, you know, we've gotten to that point where nerds run the world at this point, you know. The nerd culture is viewed as cool. You know, everybody in that stigma, in that nerd culture is, you know, whether it be the tech side of things, whether it be the artistic side of things, you know, they're all like, you know, that shit's all cool now. And they're running the world. They're the ones that are fucking making the money. They're the ones that are doing things and really progressing what we have as a society. Yet still there's that, you know, that stigma there, that it's like, whatever, nerd, at least in the fucking, I don't know, Southern California there is. And that's, it's weird to me that, you know, you see this here, but you don't see it, you know, it really anywhere else from what I've gathered from, I don't know. But then again, this is also information that I'm getting through, like, the magic, through being around the magic community. So, you know, of course, you know, you're going to have people being dicks everywhere. Maybe it's not brought up as much on Twitter because people aren't going to want to tell you about, oh, well, I met these six people today that all individually were an asshole to me because I'm a nerd. But it's still, it's weird to me that here in Southern California, it's still, everybody's a dick and everybody thinks they're better than you. And the nerd thing hasn't really, you know, caught on.
One place it has caught on, though, and one place that it's hopefully going even stronger than before is over in Toronto and Montreal with the guys at Face2Face.
We've
got to stop for a moment and talk about the GP Toronto experience that we did not get to take part of as lowly, poor individuals trying to make it here in Southern California.
Poor Californians.
You know, Josh, the proxy guy, didn't post nearly enough photos of them cubing in Toronto. But having been to enough SVU events, I think you and I can both say that you set out to take a lot of photos. You set out to make a lot of evidence and make a breadcrumb trail for yourself. And then ultimately, it doesn't happen for a myriad of reasons. That even your best intentions were to go ahead and document something, and sure enough, it's just not going to happen. So many times,
and whether it be through photos or, like, every time we've said, we need to do a we're going to be there for, like, 7 days. We need to spend an hour doing a live podcast, and it's so hard to do because you've got so many good people in close proximity that, and everybody's wanting to do everything, you know. I mean, shit, if you have enough downtime to sit down and do a podcast or something of the sort, I mean, shit, that's an extra Cube draft pod you could do. Or that's like, hey, we could actually go get something to eat because we haven't eaten in hours because we've been playing Magic and drinking. Or, you know, oh shit, I'm going to run to the fucking, the site and do that. And then, you know, trying to get everybody back together. It's really hard to do a lot of things. And even when it comes down to pictures, like you're saying, it's, I do the same thing. I'm like, man, I'm going to take a ton of photos of all these cool people I get to meet and hang out with. And rarely do I remember to get out my phone and actually take any pictures.
Yeah, it's funny. I have a friend who's going to Portland this weekend, and he asked me for like spots to hit up, you know, things I had done when I was there. And I'm like, oh, I can have a few things. I don't have any photos. I don't really have good documentation of the stuff we did, but we had a good time at such and such a place and such and such a place. You should check that kind of shit out.
Yeah.
That's essentially... But, Josh, no, just, go ahead. Essentially what?
Oh, no, go ahead. Go right ahead. Josh.
Josh had the proxy queue. They went back to Toronto, or I guess it had been there for the first time. It was just visiting. And, oh my God, Tulowitzki has had 3 errors today. This is an insane baseball game. Sorry. He's got the proxy cube. I'm glad it got to get out of the house for a while, go play some other events. I hope everyone up there had a really good time. Josh made it sound like they did. And we're starting to cultivate that SVU style event, which I'm talking about, which is we don't need the GP itself to get not only have a good time, but to make some kind of magic happen. And Josh is kind of, I feel like, echoed that sentiment in the activities that they did that made it to the internet. We don't know a lot of stuff they did that didn't make it to the internet.
Right.
So the things that they did talk about, had a great time with that. Once again, always got, you know, like channel Maddie here. Shout out to the proxy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing work he has done. To me, this is just the least I can do to give back to something that essentially he made anyway. It's like he like messaged me the other day. He's like, oh, like, I'm sending it back to you. How much should I insure it for? I was like, I don't know, man. That's like an impossible question to answer. You did all the work. Like,
yeah.
Like you can't insure it for enough. Like if it gets damaged, it's like, I can't give you back the hundreds of man hours you put into it.
Exactly.
Like, that's impossible.
And it's one of those things. And
so, yeah.
You'd said, you know, a while back that it's crazy that this started out to be a thing to have a cube you could take out and have a blast with and not have to worry about it because of the monetary value of it. And I mean, yeah, you have a lot less to worry about in the sense of like, you know, some random Yu-Gi-Oh player running up and stealing it. Because it's all proxy cards and they're not going to be able to sell it on the street or anything. And you don't have to worry about SVU members stealing it or anything. But so, as far as it getting damaged or something like that, the thing's more goddamn valuable than your cube because it's one of a kind.
Yeah, it's a rough ride. And while I've been down here in LA, like I've actually ended up taking the regular cube out a couple of weeks because Josh has had the
yeah, okay, I was going to ask you, but you posted something about that, having to take the real cube out. Because the SVU cube is, you know, out on its tour.
Yeah, it's out traveling, yeah, mm-hmm. While I'm sitting at home wondering when it's going to be back, tapping my foot. no, well, it's just like, you know, it's either one is a great conversation starter, and either one is a great way to play Magic. But obviously when going to new communities and new locations, I want to bring, you know, the not expensive one. And the proxy cube is way more of a conversation starter because people will generally, like, see it at a distance. And they'll see it at a glance, and they'll make a bunch of assumptions. They're like, oh, I had no idea the Spellskite had been printed like that. That's crazy. Right. Where'd you get that? And it's like, I have to go into this long story where it's like, well, actually, it's not real. It's printed. They're printed on real cards. They have the same. Wow, how did you do that? Actually, I didn't do it. I know a guy. Well, how much does he cost? You can't do that. They don't, like, they don't make them like that.
It was a thing, you know, it's a great, great conversation starter. Like you said, it's a great way to spread the, you know, the SVU infection, as it were. You know, get people to kind of understand what's going on. Like, look, there's this community that it got to the point where we had to have this cube printed and we all have, you know, have been a part of this and are a part of this. And, you know, I had to have my real cube that has all these real cards in it printed up like this because you know, it was kind of a pain to bring around. And now we've got this whole other thing, and it's, you know, definitely, you know, of course you're probably going to get the guy that's all, oh, I just thought I could get a spell sky like that. But then, you know, you have the other guy that's going to be like, all, oh, wow, that's crazy. You know, what's your podcast called? And you're like, oh, well, when it comes out every 4 weeks or so, it's called Heavy Meta. Which is something that I, you know, kind of wanted to bring up anyway, is just the fact that, like, you know, I know we haven't had, been hitting the weekly, you know, every Friday Heavy Meta quota lately. And it's just been one of those things where we are adulting, as TSG brought up earlier. Everybody's adulting. Maddie's business is doing amazing things, and the guy's got zero time for anything. You know, you see him pop up on Twitter.
Let's be honest with the listeners. He's been stolen by the Germans.
Yeah, or that, yeah. I was trying to feed them something else until we could get him back, but
he has definitely been stolen. He has gone.
He has been stolen by the Germans.
We can't get him back. Yeah.
But no, essentially, you know, it's with David's work schedule, and
just don't assault Germany directly on Twitter.
Yeah, don't.
Confusing.
Yeah, we're a good community of people. We don't just assault countries for stealing our friends. we talk it out first. No, with Tristan adulting and myself adulting and hockeying and things like that, and with, you know, Gumby's schedule and with Maddie being kidnapped by the Germans, it's just been a nightmare to try to get a cast together, and especially because it is one of those spots where while we're adulting, it's not just the getting together on a Wednesday or hopefully on a weekend to get a few of us hosts together to be able to do a podcast. Our lives have also kind of taken us away from Magic more than we'd like. And so it comes down to, it's like, oh, well, I mean, we could try to cast, we could try to make something work, but what are we going to talk about? And so I don't want anybody to lose heart. We're not gone. We're not going anywhere. And yes, I know we haven't really, you know, said much on Twitter or spoken out about it too much, but I mean, this is kind of the situation. It's just where we're sitting right now is, you know, things have been hard. So we're trying to, you know, I hate letting you guys go for even a week. And I mean, shit, the last, you know, it's been like, I think 3 or 4 weeks, I'm pretty sure 4 weeks since we released a podcast. And I don't, you know, I just don't want you guys to fret and think that, well, this is petering out and they're done. You know, we're here. We're just trying to make it work. And hopefully soon we can get the band back together, so to speak, and really get this thing rolling. I believe next week we have, Maddie's Canadian fill-in is what I'll call him for now. You know, Awesome Sauce Tony, is wanting to come back on. And I've talked at length to him about, maybe doing a little residency here for a few, hanging out with us, you know, every week or so, and, coming and bullshitting with us right now while things are in limbo, and, you know, getting him on. The guy's an amazing dude. He's an amazing chef from what I hear. I see all the pictures. I haven't got to eat any of his food yet, which, you know, upsets me. I'm sure plenty of you guys.
I like that. We should call him out on that, where it's like, all right, Tony, you've got to make us food next time. Although, you know, knowing our luck, we're going to be in some city where we're all trying to have a good time, and it's not going to be a real opportunity. But
oh, yeah.
I would also like to, how to say this without making an unfortunate soundbite, just have him cook us something. I think that is the best way to say that.
Hell yeah, I'd love to have him cook us something.
And he's in a great spot where he is around the game at the level that we need somebody to be around the game to really kind of help us out and push some direction to the cast. Because as much as I'm trying to get out to FNM and stay connected with that and trying to get new cubes together in this area, I'm not playing at the level that I want to in order to stay educated about it right now. And obviously, you know, you're two kids and two hockey pads to the wind right now.
Yeah.
So if you get to play at all.
I'll still get games in occasionally, but, you know, of course I don't have anything relevant to talk about. I'm like, oh, you guys want to hear about my fucking mono black deck, my zombie deck again? Or should we just talk about Burn, the same iteration of Burn that's been around forever? I don't have anything super relevant to talk about as far as like me playing, because when I do get matches in, it's a lot of the same matches. And you know, it's fun for me. I still love the game and I still love playing it, but you know, I'm not getting out and playing anywhere else. And I'm not, you know, as connected competitively as I used to be to, I mean, not that I was ever a real competitive player, but at least I knew what was going on in the metagame. Whereas lately, you know, with everything else going on, I've just kind of fell off the map as far as Magic goes. Anything that I might be able to bring to light is, shit that you can read on Twitter, because most of you guys follow the same people that I do. Now, of course, you know, there's always the, hey, what do you think about this thing that everybody already knows about? And then we can always do that heavy meta treatment where we get blind drunk and yell about it for a while and maybe come up with some amazing theories. But you know, lately it's just been harder and harder to do, but we are making sure that this still keeps rolling along. We're not letting this fucking train go off the tracks. Goddammit.
No, we've gone through some droughts before. You know, we've had, I feel like some 8 week stints where we've been Matty-less or trying to just hodgepodge the three of us together. But this is obviously our largest drought to date. And we don't want to continue to make it larger. We want to make a way to solve it or dam it up, depending on how you feel about environmentalism, and get a way through it. You know, once I get to a more regular schedule, I want to find the time that works for us best, as I know we all do. Yes. We're just having a tough time finding that one thing right now.
Yeah, just making it mesh, making it work. And it's, you know, again, we fucking love you guys. And we're here to do this for you guys to listen to. You know, I could always hit TSG up and say, hey man, how you doing? How you been? And we could bullshit about hockey and, you know, maybe some occasional Magic shit, but,
I would say like a third of the cast was hockey this week.
Yeah, we did.
Well, it'll probably end up being a fourth when it's all said and done.
That's true. That's true. Cause we're not quite done yet. And I think we're running out of Magic topics. So
I've drafted a few times. Los Angeles is very different. I can hook you up with cheap booster boxes now that I'm close enough to get to Frankenstein's anytime. That's where I'm at.
In Los Angeles, lost to your Sharks, and then, you know, on into the hockey stuff.
Right, that kind of thing.
Which, I will say, I am fucking, you know, I've always, you know, not been a fan of the Sharks. I always had a little soft spot for the Sharks. I liked them when I first got into hockey, because I believe they first got into hockey back then, which makes me feel old as shit, because they, you know, all season they've had a big fucking 25-year anniversary thing at center ice and on their fucking jerseys. And I'm like, oh, god damn it. Because I remember the Sharks entering the league. You know, I've always, you kind of had a little soft spot for them and then didn't really care much. And then watching them work, you know, a little bit this season and then through the playoffs so far, I've been thoroughly impressed, and I'm on, right now, I got two horses left in the race. I got fucking St. Louis, and I got San Jose. And I don't know, man. San Jose's impressed the shit out of me. Oh, okay. Brent Burns has been...
You do love Brent Burns. Don't lie about your love for Brent Burns.
I do love me some Brent Burns. That, I fucking love that man. And, you know, him and the rest of his team. Well, Joe Thornton's been doing pretty well, too. For being an old man. And, but I've really been impressed with the Sharks, even watching them through, you know, I realized New Jersey was fucking, had just blown whatever chance they had, like, you know, weeks before the, regular season was.
That's better. It's better than Toronto, where it was literally months before, but yeah, sure, I feel your pain.
It was one of those, like, well, I guess that's not happening, so I had to start looking at who I cared about as a team, and I always did like the Kings. You know, I was actually a Kings fan back in the day, and, you know, they're also from, they're the closest NHL team to me, and I was like, ah, I start paying attention to the Kings. All the people around here are Kings fans, you know, so like, I start paying attention to them, and I was like, all right, cool, got into that team. And just watching the Sharks go to work on them was impressive. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, I dig it. I actually got some respect for the Sharks. Now let's watch them go into this next round. And I've been impressed. You know, they're a damn good team. And so, you know, right now I'm, since fucking goddamn Washington failed me, I was hoping they'd make it this year. After the season that they had, I was hoping they could fucking pull it off this year. And watching them lose was just like, Jesus Christ, especially the goddamn Pittsburgh. Ugh, it's terrible. So I'm over that. Well, I guess I have to be over that. So now I'm like, all right, well, you know, I got fucking San Jose and I've got St. Louis. And what's going to be interesting is, well, I mean, tonight and tomorrow night, I can't believe they both went to seven games. That's insane. So tonight and tomorrow night are going to be rocky nights for me. And then we'll see what happens after that.
Well, sounds good, man. I'll tell you, there's one city that Dax definitely has no hockey.
They
I don't know if you know what that is.
They definitely need to. I mean, they've got, like, minor league hockey. Don't they have, like the Gulls or something?
I have no fucking clue. I'm sure they're awful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to be good at hockey when you're living in fucking San Diego, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I guess we're asking a lot of them.
What's that?
I said we might be asking a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sunshine, beaches, fucking ice hockey, you know. I mean, I guess the same could be said for L.A., and L.A. has won, you know, a couple Stanley Cups now.
Yeah.
I think that's because the arrogant fucks that live in L.A. is just on fine. All
tomorrow.